How you guys doing? How much do you understand of the communion service this morning? We should have an English, huh? What do you think? Maybe we should have an English? Yeah, I thought so. Let's try to do that next time. Well, this is basically the text that we're going to look at in the next few minutes about why the Lord have teach us, instruct us about the Lord's Supper. Turn with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is where the heart of every time we have the Lord's Supper, we focus on these four verses. And these four verses will tell us where Paul is coming from. Now, I'm very surprised that when God, when Jesus make this Lord's Supper, was Paul there? No, Paul wasn't there, right? The disciple was there, but Paul later on learned the process, learned how important the Lord's Supper, and so he penned these words down to teach the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, say, I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So whatever Paul have learned, he decided to deliver to you. Whatever I learn, I share with you. Whatever you pick up, you will share with your friend. That's what Paul is trying to say. And that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The very same night, that's Thursday before he crucified. The same night when Judas left him. The same night that he really broke his heart. You know, he really broke his heart. Not only the world, but especially Judas. For 3.5 years, he spent so much time with the disciple and Judas, and he decided to leave him. Not only left him, but betrayed Jesus. Verse 24, when he was given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do I often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, evangelize the Lord's death until he comes. I'm sure you probably pick up some idea of these four verses. But I want to remind you that Jesus also taught us this very important lesson. If you can remember, there's three different phases, or three different perspectives, or three different tense in these four verses. The first, I want to help you to see it, that these talking about the past, something that took place 2,000 years ago. In Paul time, maybe something took place a decade ago. But this is very important part, because this Bible says this, do this in remembrance of me. What the remembrance mean? Reminding you something. You see, you cannot remember something that have not took place. Now, how can Jesus teach us to remember something that we not experience? Experience Christ's death. That's what Paul tried to help us. Let remind ourselves. Let review. Let re-roll the tape player to look at his life and his death. Now, back then, I'm too bad they don't have a camera to capture all that. But you know what? Don't be so maybe. Hey, how can I remember how? Well, there's no pictures, there's no movie. How to remember? But you know what? The word itself. You know, the word can paint a thousand. I mean, picture paint a thousand words. But turn around, the word can paint a beautiful picture. Read into the word. Read behind the word. Read between the word to find out what happened that very night. Now Jesus say, remember. Remember what? Remember Christ's death. Remember Christ's love. You know, remember is a very important word. If the Christian remember what Christ taught, there wouldn't be so many religion today. If people remember Jesus' love, they wouldn't apostate, that's been left the church or abandoned the church. I'm telling you today, is you remember is very important. And I want to draw some illustration to help you. Do you look back into your album, those pictures that you took or your parent took you when you were young?
Yeah.
Do you smile? Is that really? I look like that? Really? That skinny? Or that chubby? Those are sweet times. How about husband and wife when they get married? They took a lot of pictures, thousands of pictures. And I'm sure probably video too. How many times have we looked back into that? Well, I have to confess, some of my photo album is collecting dust. That means I have not touched it for a while. Why? Sometimes I can think about family or breaking up. If they just look back into those photo albums. Look back to their first love. They won't argue. They won't get into divorce. Look back to the family when they get together, the first child is born and so happy. If the son or daughter look at that picture, they won't leave home. They won't leave home. So what I'm trying to get to you here, if you look back and you remember the first love and you love your parents, you love your brothers and your sister more and more. That's what happened. When you look back into the communion service, the Lord's Supper, you will see our first love with Jesus Christ. A lot of time people forgot about how they come to Jesus. They forgot about the first day that they accept Jesus Christ. They probably forget about the baptismal date. How many people remember your birthday? Let me ask you again. How many people remember that their baptismal date? Rebaptized date? Or both? Amen. Few people. Sometimes we don't remember that. We need to remind ourselves. Look back. You know, today we have no excuse to remember. You know, it's so cool. A month ago, I have an iPhone. And I know a lot of phones we can take pictures, but amazing. I couldn't believe that a phone can take a video. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm behind technology. And so we have no excuse that we can capture every single piece on our day. Our spiritual life, we can capture that. The time we kneel down and pray, the time we cry now for God. Let rewind those video. Let open back those Facebook and look at this picture. You know what? That's what happened. That's what happened. With the same thought here, we need to remember. When the more you remember, the more you fall in love with Jesus. You remember that He died for you. You remember that He suffered on the cross. You remember every single piece. You know, that's why I say the best things in your spiritual life is to meditate on the life and the death of Jesus Christ every day. Now, let people say, well, how can you keep thinking about that every day? Let me assure you, the more you do it, the more you can see the picture clearly. The more you fall in love with that scene with our Lord and Savior. The more we remember, the more we meditate, we become like Jesus. His love will flow through us and to others. You know, there's a group Bible study, and we're looking on the book of Great Controversy, and we look at the first chapter. Out of the many paragraphs in the first chapter, one line has hit my mind the most. They say that Salvation is in a reach of anyone. Everyone can reach to a salvation. You know, God brings salvation so close that you can reach. You know, my hand is long enough I can reach, but your hand is short, you can reach it too. Anyone can reach. But the more people reject the salvation of Jesus Christ, the more Jesus will want to over and want to bring them back. You know, the tidal wave of God loved, you know, the tidal wave of people rejecting him. The bigger tidal wave of grace has come out and reaching out to people. So why does that impact me? It, because yesterday, as I go out and pass out flyer, you know, those flyer talking about tonight evangelistic meeting, I told Dow that we still have 100 flyer left, and it's cost 20 cents per flyer. And that's money, hearts and sweat of many people. And so we don't want to waste that. And so we decided, almost sunset, you know, say, let's go out and pass out. Let not throw down on the floor and just put in the car and let wait. Let's see each person and give them and invite them and just talk to them. Well, we go for several hours. You know, 100, several hours is quite some time to talk to people. As I talk to people, people are rejecting me. Before that, you know, when people reject, I say, okay, that's enough. I'm going home. But this time it's different. The more people reject, the more love I have for them. Somehow that text in the book of Revelation stick to my mind that I want to love. It's not because I want, I have to. I just want to. I want to share with them. I see this is a beautiful truth that I want to really want to see them, to know them the truth. And sometimes it's really hard when you go out and share the gospel. But last night, first time ever, we bump into the special homeless person. And when Dow came over and gave him a flyer talking about Jesus, he broke him in tears. He said, I heard about Jesus, but I don't know enough. Can you teach me about Jesus? And so we stand there and we come together and we talk about it and we start praying. And I just pray and I can hear the sound of one side of the man is crying and the other side of Dow is crying. He lost everything. His wife left him. His child left him. His parents just passed away. He just lost his job. Got nothing left. Nothing left. He only have a couple paper show that he living here, like driver license. People just beat him up and took everything away. Have nothing. Nothing. But when he saw that flyer, he fell in love with this Jesus Christ. He said, I want to come. Where is it? And of course, he don't have a drive. I said, tonight I'm going to have someone come pick you up at this corner. You see, I just fall in love with Jesus because I remember. This text is so important to me to remember. Remember Christ's love for you. And the more you remember about it, you just burst into love. They say, I want to love someone enough that I want to bring them to Christ. Remember. So the first part of this four verses is, remember, it took place in the past. It took place in the past, so review it daily. Meditate daily so you can see the picture clearly. You can see the cross in front of your eyes. You can see the drip of blood from his hand down to your head. I remember one time I prayed so hard, so long on my knee, at my bedside in Michigan, so cold and so lonely. Somehow I can see the cross vividly in my mind. As I opened my eyes, I still can see it. And I just broke into tears. Said, thank you, Jesus. You allowed me to see your presence. That's what remember is all about. The second point I want to share with you here, that these say, remember of me, but not only that, the Bible says this is, and he's given things, and he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you, do this, remember of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup in the new covenant, in my blood, do this as what? As often. That means do it now. Do it today. Do as often as possible. So this very text mentioned about the present tense. But not only present, but present continuous. It means do daily, do continually. Don't stop. Don't stop. So this is very important that help us that Jesus Christ not only died in the past, Jesus Christ today died for you daily. Every time you sin, He already died for your sin. That's real. You see, when you have a memory service of someone passed away, remember Vietnamese, and they say, Di An Yo, right? And this means remember someone passed a long time ago, and so every year they remember that date. Well, remember, when you go into that, you just remember that day, and after that, you forgot about it. No, but Jesus is different. You not only celebrate His death, but you celebrate daily, not only once a year. You remember exactly the day that He died for you, and continue to die for you daily. That's why He said, take the cross and carry daily. The cross. Daily. It's so important that you and I need to think about Jesus daily. It's not because He wants you to remember Him and want you to glorify Him only daily only. But the more you behold Him, you become changed. You be like Jesus. And you will stay out of many problems that you face daily. Sometimes we go through life with so much headache, so much worry. But when you have Jesus in your life, nothing is important anymore. Nothing. I mean, I can drop everything. Come to the point I want to come to the foot of the cross and pray. I think this year has been a year of prayer for me. The last 17 years of my ministry, I haven't prayed like I've been praying. And I remember when I'm in seminary, I pray a lot. I spend much time not reading the Bible, a lot of time in prayer, on my knee. Now, sometimes I say, you know, I want to kneel long enough that I can make an imprint on the floor. You know, remember when I was young, I watched a karate movie? And you know, they come and stand and fire karate, whoo, 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 every single day. And when they stand so hard that they make an imprint on the concrete, on the brick, that's what I would feel like. You know, look, can I kneel so long that I can make an imprint on the concrete floor? Because I want to spend time with you. I want to become a man of prayer. I want to come to meditate with Him daily. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. I want to think about His life and His death daily. And as you continue doing that, you will fall in love with Jesus and you become changed. Nothing in the world will make you upset. Nothing. Nothing in the world will make you upset or make you worry enough for another day. That's how important that you take Jesus with you every day. The third point I want to share with you here, that the very last thing here say that, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till when He comes. That means when you take the Lord's Supper, when you partake into it, you think about the future. You think about Jesus will coming back. You will think about that He will take you home. That's what it's all about. But not only that, you proclaim, you continue to share the God's love, Jesus' love for other people continually until you see Jesus face to face. You see, Jesus will give us hope. We not only take the Lord's Supper in the past, in the present, and we getting tired. No. He said, you do this, you will see me again. I will come back and take you home. You see, that's the promise. That's the hope. Where many people today don't have hope. They go day in and day out, every single thing, and they thought, it's not going to change. Not going to happen. But Jesus says, I wait for you at the end of the tunnel. I know when you walk through the tunnel, it's so dark, so cold, but I'm standing at the end of the tunnel and greeting you. Continue walk in faith. Don't give up. Jesus promised that he walked with us through storm, through trial, through persecution. You see, if he said he walked with me through all that, I can walk. I can carry on that load. That's fine. When Jesus walked with me, what does that mean? He can carry for me. If I'm going to fall down, he can pick me up. That's fine. That's what it's all about. A promise of hope. A promise of hope. How many people want to see Jesus coming back soon? Probably most people are doing that. But the more I think about it, you'd be surprised that I don't want to. Because in the year 1992, he waited that long that I can return to him. And I remember the Bible text, you know, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. People think he prolonged, but he prolonged enough that he can rescue many souls as possible. And sometime I thought about, Lord, I want to be same rhythm of your heart. I want to prolong. I want you to come back, but you know what? You give me a chance another day. Don't come back so soon because I want to see my parent to be saved. I want to see my brother and sister be saved. Lord, don't come back so soon. Give me a chance that I can share with them. That's what the heart of Jesus is all about. When you come to the point you want Jesus to return, you will step over the horizon. You say, Lord, don't come back so soon because there's one more soul that I know you want to be saved. You want to save them. And that's your loved one. That's what the heart of this message is all about. The Lord's Supper is to proclaim when you partake into this Lord's Supper, if this means you want to tell about Jesus to other people. I mean, how can someone die for you and you cannot share with someone else? How can you not share about this love of Jesus Christ to someone else so they can have eternal life? You know what I'm talking about, eternal life? Forever. I don't want to go to heaven and the one I really want to love and I did not do anything to bring that person to heaven. That's what it's all about. Yes, I continue to take the Lord's Supper and I want to proclaim as you proclaim until you come back. That's the future of the Lord's Supper. If you reread those four verses and think about the three perspectives, the past, the present, and the future, will come real, then you have succeed. You have meet the mark that Jesus wants to portray that into your life. He wants you. He wants you so much that he's willing to die for you. And not only you, but everyone around you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart that you allow us to take and participate in the Lord's Supper. It's so lovely. As we close our eyes, we just want to see the cross on the hill Golgotha. As you stretch out your hand between heaven and earth, you want to embrace each one of us. You look down the timeline to see us on this very church. And you reach out to us to tell us that you love us. You love us so much, Lord. I want to love you too. We want to see you. We want to see you in the cloud of heaven. Help us embrace you every single day. Do not let any day go by that we did not meditate on you, on your life and your death. Lord, please save each one of us. Help us to walk close to you until you come again. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.